Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
One, two, three.
Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah, Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flex it in the air, huh? Rumble rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special Wrestling Rehab Up podcast, where for the first time, we are coming to you live on Twitter and Facebook. I am your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Coming to you live from my apartment. It's the Wrestling Rehab Up. And this is exciting. We're doing it. There are already comments coming in. People are excited for this. Shout out to Edmo. Alex Tria said hello. Hi. Someone else.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. I think that was a Scott Hall, Razor Ramon reference. This is live, Mari. I'm getting that energy.
Is.
I'm like, I was going to say hulking up, but you know how it is. Yeah. I'm bleeping up.
We usually stream live to stereo, like exactly right after the premium live event, but we try to switch it up. We're like, let's try Twitter. Let's try Facebook. Please let us know if you like this better. We're so happy to have you guys with us. And if you can't make it live, then of course it'll be put on all of our platforms. You can catch us on the YouTube at robhasapodcast.com/YouTube. Yeah.
robhasawebsite.com/YouTube.
Sorry. Thank you, Matt.
You can
also subscribe by going to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed in order to get us on your podcast feed. But today we're live. People are here. We'll be answering your questions if you have some. But we are here to do a SummerSlam preview. Like we normally, a recap.
Yes.
After the premium live events, we like to give you our raw, unfiltered takes. It's going to be really quick, down and dirty. Down and dirty. Matt, what was your favorite match of the night? And we're talking about just in ring first. We're going to talk about just in ring stuff, and then we'll get to a lot of the other stuff.
Limiting me. Oh my God. No, you know what? My favorite match of the night. It's funny because you'd think I would have thought about that before this point. But you know what? My favorite match easily. It was Knoxville, Tennessee's own Bianca Belair, the EST of WWE, versus Big Time Bex, Becky Lynch. For the match itself, it was such a smart match, smart wrestling. And then, of course, there was everything that came after where I had to check like my carbon monoxide monitor just to be sure I wasn't like
about to pass
fading
out.
It out. Yeah, because I was a little bit like, this is I don't think I'm okay. But it was I was better than okay. That was the great way to start the show.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Stuff out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. But I too was like, I am about to pass out. I'm gonna pass out. This is I'm passing out. So I agree. I want to try and pick something else, but honestly, like if we're talking about like in ring, everything story going into it, I did like Pat McAfee versus Baron Corbin.
Sure.
I thought that was a good if Becky and Bianca like started it like really on a high note, it started to dip, and then McAfee and Corbin brought it back up. So, I really liked their. I liked everything them going into the ring, and everything in the ring felt really raw and organic. And I just kept saying to myself, these dudes are too big to be doing the things that they are doing. And it was really fun. So I would say that would be my favorite match after the women, of course. Yes. Let's grade. What grade would you give SummerSlam overall? Like just bare minimum overall initially.
You know, especially compared to other WWE premium live events and pay-per-views, I would put this very high up there. I want to give it a... Mari, don't do this to me. I think I have to give it... I'm going to be generous. A-minus is what I'll give it.
Actually. Oh, okay. All right.
I'll be generous king. I just want, a generous king, shout out. But you know what? It just like, it was a really good effort, and you could feel the energy, and it felt less like what we've typically gotten, even though we did see a lot of repeats. The energy was different. And you know what? I want to say one of the big reasons I think I rate it so highly is just the set and the arena. Like that stadium looked amazing. It looked better than WrestleMania for a lot of years. And you could see like the upper deck, and it just looked like it was packed. Like it made wrestling look big time. And so I loved it, including that freakishly long ramp, which
But the funny thing about the freakishly long ramp was like it was like a turning, like a twisting ramp.
It had a hook.
Okay. Cause it wasn't straight, because I was like, this is a long ramp, but I couldn't really tell how long it was. And then they used very like clever camera shots to the point where I was like, wait, they are still walking to the ring. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought they were almost to the ring, and then they would cut again, and they're still walking.
I mean, just actually, this makes me think the camera angles but also just like the experience of the fans in attendance, between the ramp that hooked and then also like the ring blocking the view of like probably half of the front row and like half of a section for a while in the main event. We'll talk about that. Like, probably like maybe not the best event to go to unless you're sitting on the side, like the side of the ring that didn't have the ring like thrown up 20 feet in the air. But again, we'll get there talking about the tractor
These are things we're gonna have to take into consideration when we buy our tickets for WrestleMania 40.
Maybe we should sit on the opposite sides of the arena. So Rob Cesternino, creator of Rob Is a Podcast, the network that we're on. See, I'm like WWE Mari, giving the full background. But Rob, get Mari a ticket in section 1 front row, get me a ticket in section 7 front row. Those will probably be on the opposite sides of the ring, just in case they pull any of these shenanigans again.
So you don't want to sit with me. That's cool. I would give it, I've been generous too, I'll give it a B+. Like I thought it was a pretty good, like it was a really good premium live event. The problem was not good creative going into it. The problem was a lot of repetitious matches. So like that's the biggest thing that actually brought it down. Other than that, like I thought the booking was all pretty well done. Like you said, the set, all of that. So Yeah. It just really makes you like this premium live event made me want to, like, I cannot wait to watch Raw. You know, I can't wait to, well, I don't, depending on what shakes out for the women in SmackDown, I don't think I need to watch SmackDown anymore. Right.
Okay. Wow. And but, you know, yeah. What, Mari, I think that that's all a good point. If anyone's watching live and has comments with the grade that you want to give the show, feel free to drop that in. We have Alex, shout out to Alex, giving a solid B. And yet, Mari, somewhat you said about the repetition, Alex is also brought up and mentioned here, you know, some stuff with the Judgment Day, Prophets and Usos, Liv and Ronda. I enjoyed these things more than I typically do, but maybe that's just because I'm feeling like the new energy.
There you go.
A new era.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex, for that one. And thanks, everyone, for the different comments. And someone else, solid B, Facebook user with a B. Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, if you're watching on Facebook, you could give StreamYard access that we could see who you are if you want to be shout out, or you could remain anonymous, which is also kind of cool. So,
yeah. So let's just get into the matches real quickly. And again, we're just giving our raw, unfiltered takes. Of course, we're going to probably be speculating where some of these storylines go as well. But we always like to do this fresh while we're still like feeling it, like Matt said. So let's start with Becky versus Bianca. And I mean, like, I don't even know if they should have opened with this, because I mean, this just set the expectations so incredibly high for the rest of the night. It was so good. And, you know, like we said in our preview podcast, if you haven't checked out our preview podcast with Stan C, definitely, you know, check it out if you want to hear how wrong we were in most of our predictions.
Okay, wait, Mari.
I think we were
vaguely right with some of them.
Vague.
We put out a lot. Like, we just put out a lot of hooks. We threw out the fishing line.
We threw out
a lot of hooks. Have you ever like seen someone like at a park or by a pond with like 12 fishing hooks in the water and then they'll get one fish? That was us. Yeah, that's us.
So like you said, going into Becky versus Bianca, it was just kind of like, all right, we've seen this, you know, it feels like they had to go back to this, but we knew they were going to put on a classic. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, Becky and Bianca are just so extremely talented and their chemistry is so good. Like, this match from a technical perspective, like wrestling, was just like, it was smooth like butter. I mean, it was just smooth like butter. Yeah, they began with some chain wrestling, which is like typical. Like, Becky loves to be technical. I love that. And all of the counters, like I said, if you get a Becky match, you're going to get some counters. And they were both countering everything. It makes sense with the story. They fought each other so many times. So all of the counters all felt really smooth and really authentic. Like, it didn't feel like anybody was waiting at any spots or anything like that. Like, these women just, I love watching them work, to be quite honest.
I love it. And I just agree with you. Like I was saying earlier, it was really a lot of smart wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, it was all very logical. And, you know, we have the pictures that we pull up on these episodes all the time. So, you know, there's Becky working Bianca's arm was one of the things from the very beginning of the match. And I love that because you see the psychology of all of it.
Yeah.
And but then they mix in the logic and the psychology with just a lot of really phenomenal stuff. Like, I mean, like, normally we'll see Bianca do like the basically she springs off the ropes and then does the backflip kind of thing. But she just did like a standing moonsault, which we don't normally see from her. Like, we saw Bianca reversing a leg drop from Becky into a powerbomb, which I was like, whoa, that actually looked really good. And there's so many great spots. Like, I even just love the photos on WWE.com because, like, here's one of like Becky doing the leg drop on the outside of the ring onto Bianca, and Byron Saxton is like flipping out, selling for it big time.
And that was gonna be. I was going to say that was going to be my next thing. They really let them stay on the outside for a minute, though. Did you notice
I was
like, where is this 10 count? Because they did it like the first time with that leg drop with Becky, which was beautiful. And then they did it a second time. Like, but I guess what happened was when Becky threw Bianca threw the under the ring post into the other side. It kind of restarted the count. But I just thought it was funny. I was like, they are giving them plenty of time on the outside here. It was really, really funny.
And by the way, I have a feeling who this is. My favorite thing about, for those who might be just listening to the audio, we're pulling up comments from the Facebook group, Job as a Squadcast. If you want to be part of it, hit up me and Mari, and we'll do our plugs later of where you could hit us up for that. My baby mama, somebody says, Chappelle.
Right.
And also just like, I'm seeing a lot of great other comments just about Becky becoming a ring general. Mm-hmm. And so much there. People really love this match. It sounds like
it was a great match. There's so many spots like we could literally sit here and talk about. Like you said, Becky was working the arm. She went into a Rings of Saturn. We saw Rings of Saturn twice this night. Yeah. And I know that because that's one of my favorite submission moves of all time. Wow. And I was like, we have another one. Not only did Bianca, she did her, if you remember, she did her old finishing maneuver. Her old finishing maneuver, which was like a, I don't even know what you describe it, but it's when she puts them on the shoulder and she used to throw them back. Like, oh, yeah. That finisher was always the weirdest thing to me.
Yeah, shout out to Perry Saturn.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that move, the one where Bianca just like throws. It's so uncomfortable to watch. Weird. I don't like to see anyone land like that.
Like a reverse power bomb.
Bomb, basically.
Yeah, throwback. They literally broke out all of their repertoire.
One of my favorite moves, which was right before the finish, before the final KOD from Bianca, was just a second rope Spanish fly from Bianca. So,
Because Becky hit the manhandle slam, almost gave me a heart attack. Because it was a near fall. Yeah. Then she set her up. I was like, oh my God, she's setting her up for a Superman handle slam. And I almost lost my. Then Bianca countered into the Spanish fly, then reversed it into a KOD. I mean, I don't even know. Like, go watch this match. It was just so good from a wrestling perspective. And then all of the shenanigans afterwards, I was just like, I can't take this. I cannot take this. I was sitting there having like, I was hyperventilating. I was like, this is so good. This is so good.
Are you okay? Do you want to?
I'm good.
First of all, it was like, it was a lot. And I will say I am like, I was so thrown off by all of that. Like, Mari, we don't get special moments like that all that often. Like this, the energy that moment was giving reminds me of when we saw the Horsewomen debuting on WWE with Sasha and Becky and Charlotte. And then you had like Alicia Fox and Tamina and Naomi like the Bellas and like that moment, which is like, what is going on? Like, again, you have to check the carbon monoxide in that moment. This was like awesome.
It was so good.
Ooh, okay. Do you want to like lay out what happened in case anyone's listening to this without actually listening to the podcast? And I will pull up some images for people.
So afterwards, Becky like extends her hand to Bianca, which is also another callback to the last SummerSlam, where Becky extended her hand, Bianca took it, beat her in 26 seconds. You know, Becky beat her in 26 seconds. So when Becky extends the hand after the match, you know, Bianca's kind of like, I don't know. But they end up taking each other's hands, embracing. It was such a sweet moment. At the time, I was like, okay, all right, what's happening here? Then Becky leaves.
I was worried.
Cut to Bailey's music. Like, this is where, I mean, like, collectively losing your shit and then just, like, it just keeps topping itself. That's what it started. Yeah. Like, Bailey's music hit, and I was like, yes. I was dying. And then I was like, oh no, do I have to boo her? I'm not booing her. Bailey's back. Yay. Oh no, she's still mean. Boo. No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all of those like those feelings. And she's like, Bianca, do you remember me? And I was like, oh, this is great. And then some more music hit here, Matt.
Yes, more music.
more music. And
I because in this moment, I heard the music. I love the music. I'm like a wrestling. I love wrestling theme music. It really bothers me when they change it because I'm like, same. Oh wow, I don't like. It doesn't. You're not.
It takes
able
a while to
connect
compute.
With somebody. Yeah. But I heard it, and I'm like, is that who I think it is? And then you look and you see the monitor, and it says Dakota Kai, but also we had like a weird angle, like the screen was kind of pushed between the stands or
it
something.
So
it's like, what does that say? What? She doesn't work here. Someone must have put up the wrong. And then Dakota freaking Kai walks out. Where she was gone, and then they acknowledge it. They're like, as far as we know, she's not even under contract. Like, how awesome is that?
Man, I think we've talked about it so often. Like, letting Dakota go, I was so confused, like so devastated. And to have her come back, officially come onto the main roster, because before she was let go, she was working like SmackDown dark matches before she like got bumped back down to NXT. Mm-hmm. So to have her here, to have her behind Bayley, I was like, okay, tag team.
Tag team, it's only going to be two of them.
It's only going to be two of them. Nope. Io Shirai, known as Io Sky.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to lie, I thought Corey was just messing up.
Me too.
When he first said it.
But the name is the name. I'll just be the first to say it before we go there. The name is a good rebrand. It's actually really good because you have Dakota Kai. Sky rhymes with Kai, so that works on that level. We get like the short three-letter names. Bayley doesn't have a last name, which is kind of sad actually. Yeah. Or maybe that's a cut. She's like Madonna, I guess. And then Io, they also changed her first name where it's not I-O, but I-Y-O, just for people to be able to like pronounce it in a lot of places, which like, I'm not complaining about that. I think that this is awesome. And I'm just happy that they're both here because like, even with Io, there were a lot of rumors that she would be leaving the company and she wouldn't be renewing. So
exactly.
What is going on here?
So they're still following the structure of changing, known as the Genius of the Sky. Perfect, Alex. Io Shirai was known as the Genius of the Sky. So it also ties back into her character, but it's following with the flow of them having to change people's names, especially ones that are licensed outside, that had been previously licensed outside of WWE. So I'm just glad that they didn't give her a completely different name. Yeah. Like the bar is so low, so low.
I know. They could have been like, this is Jane. What's a horrible last name?
I know.
Yeah, like Jane.
Haberdasher.
Haberdasher. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Like, insane. But yeah.
I know. So, by the way, there's so much here. I'm just like keeping an eye on the comments because the comments are on fire in the Job is Squadcast group. So number one, Tim, shout out to Tim, says, I loved all of the pockets on Bayley's pants. So many pockets. Yeah, you know what? Just in the note of the fashion, I thought that they really coordinated very well. They had their little like jackets on. They're really like bad girls, you know?
I love Bayley so much. Like we were talking about, it's been reported that this faction, like Bayley has always said she's wanted to lead a faction. It's being said that Dakota and I don't know if this is Bayley, all of this has been pitched. This was pitched before Vince McMahon left, and it was actually turned down before Dakota left.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the word on the street right now. We'll probably get some more information on that. Yeah. Oh,
gosh, you know what? I love that. Beautiful. Go ahead, Mari. There's so much to cover.
Because we got to cover some more stuff.
I know. Or do we?
We do. We promise we'd cover the whole thing. Yeah. So they start threateningly looking at Bianca. And I'm not going to lie. This is when I was like, don't get your hopes up. It's not going to happen. Don't get your hopes up. I was like, don't get your hopes up that Sasha and Naomi are going to come out. Don't get your hopes up.
Oh, Mari, don't even.
I know. That's what I said. I told myself not to get my hopes up. Becky came back to kind of scare them away. Bailey did say there's only two of you and three of us. So we were like, okay, is a third person going to come out? Nobody else came out. So I'm wondering if, again, we'll get some more character development on Raw about who's going to be going up against this faction. Because even when they try to interview Bailey and Io and Dakota afterwards, they're just like, I guess you'll just have to wait. So I don't care. I think this is going to be great. This seems like this is Becky. Becky is now like reverting back to face. A lot of people think this might lead back to the man character, which I agree. Like, all this is just good. It's just good. She's been giving
man, you know, for the last year though, which I feel like man, but like heel man, you know what I'm saying? Like, by the way, Mari, in terms of the Naomi and Sasha speculation, that did not cross my mind. An anonymous Facebook user said, Mari protects your peace. My sister.
I know, right?
I don't even want to think about who would be the third, if there'll be a third, because at the end of the day, that could lead us to being disappointed. Like,
Chat is saying Asuka. That makes sense to me.
Chat is saying Asuka. I think that's fair. Yeah. But then if we, like, I think I'm just, like, good with, like, taking it in as it goes because there's also a world where it's like, ooh, Charlotte shows up here.
I thought so.
But Mari, that's why. And, like, when we're talking about protecting your peace, Mari, this is what speculation does. Just mind your business and don't speculate, I guess, is the lesson we learn here. But maybe I think they'll do a good job here. And whoever it is, and that's if there is a third spot, whoever it is will be like awesome. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So that was the match. That was the after match shenanigans. It was so good. It just really made everything feel so light afterwards. I was so excited for after that. I would say this was a solid A+ match.
It pulls up so much else in the card that didn't even work out. So,
right.
I love it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Next up, we have Miz and Logan Paul.
And Maurice on the outside. Well, also Ciampa was there too. But Maurice specifically on the outside with her dangly balls, which was really nice that she was holding those. I don't know if there's a picture of the balls, but...
Everybody looked really stunning in this one. Everybody was looking great. The match itself, though, they tried to play mind games before. Like, Miz had the little picture with the chain. His gear said, "I have massive balls," which
it did.
Hilarious, very funny gear. They start off with like Logan kind of doing some punching, that alludes to his boxing background. But honestly, I didn't really like this match in a sense. Like, I don't think it flowed as well. I think what it felt like to me was walking to big spots, like walking to this setup, to this setup, to this setup. mostly because Logan Paul is just, you know, he's a novice at this. Miz did make him look good. It mm-hmm. just for, you know, just for me, I thought the match with the Mysterios was way better. And I think that's because, it, you know, Logan Paul is more protected in a tag team situation than in this one-on-one situation.
Well, Mari, you've mentioned the Mysterios and Alex here. Look, Alex, I shouldn't be doxing you like this, but is it bad that Logan Paul is already better at wrestling than Dom Mysterio? And like, I mean, I
you think
agree.
So, Alex.
I mean, it's kind of like one of those things with Ronda, where Ronda was really able to deliver on matches. And I think a lot of people say, like, she's the best women's wrestler ever back in her first run with the company. And, you know, they're able to put together something. I will say I enjoy watching Logan Paul wrestle a lot more than I enjoy watching Dom Mysterio. And I really did like this match because I felt like Logan Paul was like, give me all the crazy spots. Like, just throw me everywhere, throw me around, beat me up. Like a sadistic type of thing.
Yeah. He did a lot
so
of
much. Like, yeah. He did a lot. Salt type mm-hmm. of thing, whatever it was off the apron was cool.
Yeah, he hit the frog splash to the outside, which I was like, geez Louise, a really nice blockbuster to Miz, even though I think he may have kneed Miz in the face a little bit. The figure four section was pretty funny as well. And I'm just focusing on Miz and Logan. We'll talk about the rest of the stuff in a minute. But
yeah.
And I mean, to me, like, the big spots were good. I'm not saying the big spots weren't good. The big spots were good, but everything in between, the transitions were not there, which makes sense. When you're a new wrestler, transitions seem to be the hardest thing to master. Yeah. And to me, to give a reference or the equivalence, it was like a Shane McMahon match. You know what I'm saying? Oh, like, you know, Shane
even
can
like
do all the spots.
Down to like the diving off of the top rope with the beautiful frog splash through the announce table. And just to kind of like mention that for a second, Logan Paul giving his best Shane McMahon cosplay here. Mm-hmm. He landed on the Miz on the table, but like the table took like 2 seconds maybe to break before. So I don't know how hard of a landing that was on the Miz, but it did look like it kind of hurt a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. He's just a better like Shane McMahon. Like, he can actually do the other stuff.
But like, that's so, what matters. Like, that's the thing at the end of the day, which is like, it is really good. And you know, I'll say, as someone who doesn't really know Logan Paul, like, outside of this, like, I know who he is, but I don't mm-hmm. know in depth. Like, you know, I'm sure there are lots of videos out there like why Logan Paul is problematic and all sorts of things, and there's some stuff that comes to mind, but at the end of the day, I'm just like, this is really well done, and he fits pro wrestling, probably even in terms of some of the problematic stuff. Like, it's giving very Vince, you know, so it works.
Like, so, like, I truly didn't care about any of that. I think the biggest thing is, like, the WrestleMania match kind of set his bar pretty high.
It did.
And I just think maybe the one-on-one didn't deliver as much, but it still was a good match. It was a little long. I did love that Ciampa got ejected from ringside. And then when he didn't leave, I was like, I mean, who's gonna tell him? Like, who's gonna check you? Like, I thought that was the funniest thing. But then of course AJ was like, I will remove you from the ring.
I know. I was like, and honestly, wouldn't that be funny if I wish that every time there was someone being ejected, that they're just like, no, I'm not gonna leave. And then someone else has to come out to like take them out, because AJ was ready. I don't know where he was, but that building is gigantic, and he must have been like sitting in the stands. Maybe he had like a front, you know, lower bowl ticket to take care of this, because there's like, if you just think about it, there's no way that he could have made it from the back to Ciampa in any amount of time. But anyway, we'll suspend our disbelief there. And that was a little fun moment. I like that a lot.
It was so funny. Yeah. But not too bad of a match.
Do you agree with this idea, Mari, from Tim, that Bad Bunny is still the GOAT celebrity wrestler?
I agree. I mean, he then maybe it's because he hasn't come back to like tarnish that, you know, that thought of him. But like, he's good. I like it. And I think, like the chat said, you could see that both Logan and Bad Bunny are actually like into it and training and willing. So that is a good thing. So I'll give all of that credit.
Love it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
This gets a C from me though, because my excitement started to dip.
Wow. This gets a B plus from me. And, you know, and it's interesting because, like, comparing this, like, I like this match more than I liked the Baron Corbin, Pat McAfee
match. Okay.
Yes. And we'll talk about that. But, you know, I think it was interesting on commentary, and who knows how true this is, but I think Corey Graves, you know, later during the Corbin McAfee match, mentioned like the humidity in the arena because it's an open bowl. And so things are a little slipperier in there. I just felt like that match was like there were like some sloppy moments, mostly from McAfee, but
McAfee and Corbin.
Yeah. I thought this was clean in the moves, but yeah, Kurt Angle actually in an interview a couple years back talked about like anyone could do moves, but it's the things in between, like the transitions, that people are like, what do I do in the middle? I'm not a wrestler. Yeah. I don't know what to do. So yours, I think that was a spot on assessment of that. Cool stuff.
We got a Pure Life water commercial with Maximum Male Models. It took me a minute. I'm like, is this a real commercial?
Water is what I was like wondering.
Well, the funny thing is I knew it was real water because I have some.
I think I do too in my fridge.
Not even,
I
might have a bottle. Expensive though. It's like, I think it's like knockoff.
Yeah, but they're cheap.
No offense. Yeah, they're good. It's delicious.
Maximum Male Models. Easy for me to say.
They're cheap.
They're giving cheap, yes. What money could they possibly have earned in their run with WWE? So funny. It was. I think it's commercial. It is interesting though that we that Max Dupri, aka LA Knight, is no longer and who knows where he is, because he hasn't been officially booted from the package, but yeah,
it is. Well, he was there at
the end.
Yeah, at the end. Because I was too busy
buying my smart water, whatever they're trying to sell. Really, yeah, he was at the end of that.
He was at the end. He was at the very end. Masay and Mansoor were like, oh, yeah, parched. And then Maxine said, get them some water. And then they got the water, and then they start when he poured it on his arm, I was dying. I'm like, why are you just help? But and then Maxine talked a little bit more. But at the end, they had the water bottle sitting on the table, and then Max Dupri came up and he was like, da 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 da. He was at the very end. So I don't know. I wonder if he's like maybe somewhere else in studio. He hasn't been with them for a while, but he's apparently been, like, I think on SmackDown they had a vignette, and then I think he was like in ring or something like that. So he's still with the group. It's just there were rumors that he was pulled from the group again. Yeah. Another decision that was made before Vince left. Yeah. But he's still there.
Mm-hmm. They're saying that apparently, and I don't remember exactly what the source of this was, so I say take it with a grain of salt. Maybe there was some stuff with the creative that he didn't necessarily agree with or was questioning some point. Yeah, so backstage. Whatever. I mean, as long as he's not gone, LA Knight, aka all the other names he's had in his career, he's insanely talented. So I'm glad he's still around.
Exactly that. All right, so next up we have Bobby Lashley and Theory, and I'm gonna keep it real with you, Chief. I think I have like three notes for this. Like,
Let me see how many I have.
I think I was up grabbing snacks, and by the time I sat back down, it was over.
I have one note. I just wrote basically the finish. Theory tries to escape the hurt lock and taps out, and that was that. And then we did speculate about this. Like, is he going to just be like, I'm leaving? And he did start to wrestle the match a little bit. Then he tried to leave the situation. Mm-hmm. Lashley would not have that. And he tapped
quickly.
Theory tapped so fast. Yes.
It was a quick match. Yeah. The good thing was my other note is the crowd was behind Lashley.
They were.
Yeah. They were completely over for Lashley. So that was great. But other than that, quick match. D. It was not needed, but Lashley, I'm glad Lashley is still going on his way with the championship. We'll see where who his next opponent is or any of that, but yeah, this was not good.
You know, and it's like, I mean, I'm glad that they went this direction, keeping the championship on Lashley. They haven't been doing an amazing job with him because he has kind of felt like him and the U.S. title felt like the afterthought to Theory's general story. And so hopefully this is getting away from that and we'll have Lashley with like an actual story and feud at some point. So look, this was fine. I mean, I guess the silver lining being he keeps the championship.
Yeah. Next was Judgment Day versus the Mysterios. And this is when I say, like, I was, like, on cloud nine. And it was just, like, the rest of the matches were just coming down. It was just come down. Like we said, Judgment Day and the Mysterios have they just met each other on Monday at Raw. They just fought each other. Judgment Day beat the Mysterios up backstage, led to putting this match on the card. But the problem is Rey Mysterio beat them again on Monday. So I just wrote it was an okay match. The best parts were like Finn was mocking Eddie to them. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Rhea gets involved to stop that double 619. And then Edge comes back, which we had speculated. He comes back kind of with the brood and the fire. And he helps the Mysterios win. But it's just, again, it just feels like it wasn't necessary because the Mysterios have been winning this whole time. Like that, and that's the thing that kind of, I'm just sad for Judgment Day because since Edge left Judgment Day, they have literally just been basically losing, you know, and or it feels like they're losing more, maybe more than they actually are, but they don't feel like the force that they were when he was there.
Yeah. And you know, even like with his return, those video packages were so well done, Mari. Like it's kind of wild. And I wish I could think of a good reference for this, but like they put so much time and energy. Like they probably brought in the world's leading creative director to be like, ooh, okay, we're going to have a burning shirt for Mick Foley, like a burning flannel shirt. And then we're going to have a license plate that says Latino Heat on it. And then we're going to have the Olympic medal. And then we're going to go close up on the medal with someone, a mysterious figure walking in the background.
Yeah.
And then it leads to this. And like, even when we talked about it, I said like, this is probably just going to lead to a return that's not all that interesting. And like, nothing against Edge at all. I've always loved Edge, but you know, like, where's the, it just felt like one, I don't love him as a face, I guess, generally speaking, it felt weird. It felt like, it was weird. Yeah.
The biggest thing is they bring him back to go up against his old group, but his old group have not been dominant since he left. So it doesn't feel like you need all of this. You know what I'm saying? Like they have not been hyping up Judgment Day or making Judgment Day to be the big bad monsters for him to come and slay. So if they're not the big bad monsters for him to come and slay, when he comes out, we're just going to be like, oh, hey, Edge, what's up?
The BBMs.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? I will also point out, like, okay, so, and Mari, help me, because sometimes I struggle with math in these situations. Gotcha. So it's Dominic, Edge, and Rey Mysterio. The three of them versus Rhea and Priest and Finn.
Right.
So, like, it does feel a little bit like the faces have the numbers in their corner, for now at least. I know everyone's been speculating about Dom leaving. Ooh. Wait, I'm getting, hold on, Mari, I'm having another a Raven Simone moment. Like, oh my gosh, I have a vision. But I feel like this, like even this picture that we have pulled up of like Dominic and Rey in the ring, Edge saved the day, Edge standing between them, Edge is looking at Rey Mysterio and Dominic just back there looking at Edge. Like maybe there's going to be some jealousy in here that will lead to the split. Like that would motivate a split potentially. I could see that happening where the numbers would make more sense. But right now I'm thinking that Judgment Day needs you know what? Rey is doing a great job ragdolling Dominic. So maybe they don't need another number, but you know, we are used to seeing like, you know, even numbers in terms of like the gender dynamics in these feuds. Yeah.
Yeah, truly.
Alex, I want Rey to hit a riptide on both Mysterios so bad. Do I ever? And the way that she, the way that Rhea threw Dominic against the apron, I was so confused. I didn't realize that this was a no DQ match because I think I was like zoning out a little bit. And then I see Rhea take them both out, then put Dominic on her shoulders and like throw him around. Yeah. And I'm like, what? Is that not a DQ?
And Rhea had the chair. Had the chair at the beginning. Exactly. It just feels like it's been overdone. Again, it didn't feel like Edge coming back helped anything because, again, the Mysterios have been beating them. They kept referring to Edge as a rated R superstar. Even though
that's a nickname, but it's just like, where's the, it wasn't giving rated R superstar energy, you know?
Exactly. So, more to see, I guess, here. Maybe you're right. Maybe Dom turned on them here, but, it was just another Raw match. It felt like nothing. It didn't feel like they were going above and beyond. So just a C for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a C. It was, I mean, I could have done without the match. Like, I like them moving the storyline along, but the match, like, it could have just been shenanigans from the beginning and we could have cut out the actual wrestling and just have, like, the Judgment Day try to take them out and then Edge comes in. But the match did kind of feel unnecessary here and forgettable. Yeah.
Next up, we have Pat McAfee versus Baron Corbin. Like I said, I really did like this match. Corbin coming out and then a choir just popping up out of nowhere, just singing bum ass Corbin like over and over again.
I know. It's like the Nashville men's choir or something like that. That just, I mean, and I was trying to figure out, like, is this a professional choir? But it doesn't seem like it. But also, they could have just found a bunch of people backstage to be like, okay, we have one line we need you to sing. Just nice bass, you know, do it. But they were pros. And what a draft.
It literally took me the exact... I was like... Are these just random people calling Corbin a bum ass or is this a singing? And then when they went into Pat's entrance music, I was like, oh, okay. And
that was cool.
Yeah, I was trying to realize, I was trying to think, did we hear Pat's entrance music at WrestleMania? Because this was really good. It felt like I love this. It felt like NFL chants. Like there's a really like famous NFL chant that's basically just Crazy Train by Black Sabbath. Uh-huh. And this had that feel to it, but they can't use Crazy Train by Black Sabbath. So they had to do like a different little, whatever they were doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And Alex, thank you for the comments. I'm loving the live comment interaction because it's informative. So Alex said, first of all, it was Seven Nation Army at WrestleMania. Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. That. Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that he mentions is that at first he thought that they brought their old Colts teammates to do, like, and honestly, that was my thought too. It's funny that you mentioned that because I was like, oh, are these all retired Colts players who are like literally? So I don't know, but they did we need confirmation that was a choir and not old retired Colts players.
His new entrance music is so good though. Like, I really liked it. I liked the intro, it was like, hey, let's go. And then it went into the chants. Yeah. I love that. Sad that we won't get to, I guess we'll hear it if we're live, you know, when they play the announcer's music when they come in live.
But oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The saddest thing though was no Bejeweled tank top. I was really excited for the butcher.
I have to say, I'm wearing my Sunday best Pat McAfee tank top right now in honor of him.
There you go. I
see it. And I you know, you can't see it now, but I definitely put some glitter on it just to bedazzle it like Pat McAfee. But he came out with his basic tank top here.
It did say hashtag bumass Corbin on the back. It so did. I appreciated that. Yeah. I was looking forward to the Bejeweled tank top. I was a little sad we didn't get it, but it's okay. So,
a complete side note. We need to, maybe this is a next week thing for us, but I just said the word Flair. We need to check up on Ric Flair and see if he's okay.
I think that happens today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well then we will talk about it next. We'll talk about it on Saturday's episode next week then.
Right. Hopefully it was not bad news. So the one thing I did notice on commentary here was Corey Graves annoying Michael Cole, but Corey Graves said to Michael Cole, "I liked you better when you weren't allowed to have an opinion."
Yeah.
And Michael Cole said, "Well, times have changed." And again, yeah, these little disses to Vince McMahon and it being a new regime is very, very interesting. It's like they want to get in on that, like AEW, dissing, like to kind of propel people to like them more. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's smart because it's very smart.
Yeah.
I mean, and even if it's not, you know, I didn't read it as a diss or disrespect in any way. It's more factual than anything else.
Yeah.
But to me, it's good because it does do this. It creates this mystique around the transition with Vince being out. Like, even exactly. if things weren't that much different, they are hinting at the idea that things are different. Exactly. I do wonder who... I don't know why I was going to curse there. I was going to say who the F, but like, I wonder who is in their ears, like who is in their
Maybe
ears
nobody.
Talking with them. Maybe because again, and you know, the stories of Vince yelling in people's ears on commentary, that's not fun. So I like Maybe that a lot. And I noticed that. Sam. I noticed that. Yeah.
We'll ask. I don't know. He'll be able to answer. But yeah. There are also things like they kept saying WWE fans during this match as opposed to the universe. So,
yeah.
I mean, it maybe times are changing. Back to the match, though. The match was very stiff. It felt like very stiff, very snug match. Cool.
Yeah.
Two big dudes. Very big. Nice superplex. And then, you know, ref bump. Oh.
Yeah, ref bump, which led to a nice...
Is that a little niche?
Honestly, no, I don't know. I think was that Charles Robinson? Pad Pat? I don't know which one it is.
He will take Over a bump. Top. Yeah. And then Pat McAfee kicks Corbin in the dick. Straight in the dick.
And then he did his little... Like, okay, the finish? I thought he was going to go... I was so confused, Mari, because... I thought that move was going to be a Panama Sunrise, more like Adam Cole, but it was close, but not quite. Like, he jumped on Corbin's back and then into the... I know what... There's a... I can't remember the name of that move.
Code Red?
Yeah, it's like a Code Red. Yeah, it was like a Code Red instead of like a Panama Sunrise. I don't know if he's done that... Has he been doing that move in matches?
I don't know. But again, like, that's why I think I like this match a little bit more than some of the other filler matches, because again, these dudes are too burly and too husky to be doing all of these flips and stuff, but they made it look pretty good. Yeah. That's what I like.
And I mean, for me, I think watching it again, I'd probably enjoy this match more, and then again, it's impressive. Tim commented, Pat slipping on that top rope was crazy. And like, yes, it was. And that's what I was referencing earlier with the humidity in comment on the commentary in the arena. And like the fact that they were able to recover from that, that was one moment where Pat jumps up, you know, he's trying to jump up to the top rope to stand there and like kind of his feet slip. So he lands on his knees on the top rope. Corbin holds him up. Like it was so well done. Like that was a moment where I was like, oh, these two were definitely teammates in the NFL or, you know, cause like you could see like them working together in that moment to make sure that wasn't a horrible botch. And I love that for them.
Yeah, exactly. It was good. Good for them. Like I said, I was a little bit more partial to this one. So I'll give it like a B minus. Yeah.
You know what? I'll give it a, I'll give it a B minus because my thing, Mari, Corbin just makes me sad every time I see him in the ring.
I don't know why.
I just still see sad Corbin coming from happy Corbin. And I'm big on empathy, Mari, which is totally a thing that empathetic people say. I read lots of empathy books. That's a reference to Big Brother and all the horrible players. I don't know. Corbin makes me sad, but he's so good.
The only other thing that Pat McAfee did that I was like, why? He just drank a beer with a fan. He just drank a fan's beer. I was like,
no, That's disrespectful.
Well, the fan handed it to him, but it was still like there's a pandemic still happening. Anyways,
yeah, don't drink and wrestle. Come on. Feel some respect.
Next up, we had the Usos versus the Street Profits. I think, yeah, right,
yeah. And I'm sorry, I was just looking at my note. I'm like, what did I write here? Jeff Jarrett came out to like the. I don't know. Like I wrote in my notes, I wrote, it sounded like it's probably the Golden Girls theme song. Like, it was not a song that I recognized, but it was like very like it was giving nursing home in the South. Yes.
Yeah.
Not his typical theme song, which is iconic. Like there's a whole song. People love to sing it.
Yeah. I wonder why that is. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, maybe. I don't know. Oh, and speaking of entrances, by the way, I also love the Street Profits entrance with the cheerleaders from the Titans getting their life. So
that was very cute. That was very, very, very cute. The match itself.
They kind of let me down on that. Yeah, I've seen some comments here already, even as we got started, just about it being like more boring or disappointing. And
it was.
I hate like the thing I hate about Street Profits Usos matches is that every single time you will predict like in their favor, and I did too this time because I was like, I just want them to win. Let's put that energy out there. And then we keep being disappointed. And they like this would have been the time. This should have been the time.
Yeah,
it really should have been.
None of the titles changed hands on this card at all. It's whatever. Like I don't want you randomly saying, okay, no titles are changing hands. Let's change this title just so there's some, you know, I want there to be a plan. But what is the plan here? Because that match, I felt like the match wasn't even as good as the matches they've been having for the past 4 months. Jeff Jarrett being in there kind of slowed the action down a little bit. Mm-hmm. When Montez hit his, you know, his legendary frog splash, from the heavens, he did not go up that high. And I was like, did he do that on purpose because he knew he wasn't getting the pin? You know what I'm saying? Because look at it again. I've seen him jump higher, I feel like. I'm not saying he shouldn't have done that. I'm just saying I thought that was going to be the kayfabe answer. Like he's like,
oh my God,
he didn't get all of it. Yeah.
Even looking at like the picture of it, he looks so low. And you know what? He does usually like he was doing more of like the typical frog splash. Maybe I'd say like Eddie Guerrero, where you're jumping down onto the person as opposed to what we've seen a lot from Montez, which is basically jumping up through the ceiling and then down onto the person. So that was a small thing. I wouldn't have even really picked up on that much if you hadn't mentioned it.
Yeah. Like I thought they were going to say, oh, he didn't get all of it or something like that. You know, he did over exaggerate the landing so that it gave them time to get the pin. Mm-hmm. So for the pin to fail or whatever.
Yes.
I was just like, just a little disappointing, honestly. The Usos winning. I'm just like, well, what happens now? Like, it all just feels so stagnant. It just all feels so stagnant right now. The tag team divisions with the Usos having both belts. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe this is something we got to wait till next week.
I mean, and I get we'll wait and we'll see. Some positive notes. I like this comment from Alex again. Dawkins has put in work in the gym, not just forward. Dawkins looked great. And they do talk about how like beefy Montez is looking these days. And you really can tell.
Lots of muscle. Yeah.
You could really. Yes. Lots of muscle. And so Dawkins is really. That's the thing. Like and the conversation comes up. And I always feel like when we talk about Montez, like, and anyone, like, give amazing things to say, but we also want to give Angelo Dawkins his flowers because he is a solid performer. I'm glad that they're still together, though, and they're still a team rather than, you know, WWE splitting them like they used to love to do back in the day with teams.
Yeah, well, I agree, but also hold that thought because we don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think this
by the way, overall, how do you feel about Jeff Jarrett here before we kind of.
I thought it was cool. He didn't add anything. Nobody got hit with a guitar. So cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming, Jeff Jarrett. Havan, yeah. You know, special guests.
Yes. Havan Braca.
Yes. He said he looked like a white Rob from Martin. So look that up. If you know, you know. If you don't, look it up.
Damn, I wish you told me that before.
White Bob.
I wish I could have edited together like a side-by-side comparison.
Yeah, White Bob.
That's probably horribly disrespectful.
It's not good, so. But it is kind of funny. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, cancel Mari, not me.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's keep going.
Next up, was this where Riddle ran in? I don't know.
Sure.
Riddle runs in. Let's put it here. Yeah. Let's put it here because I don't know. I didn't make any notes for it. So.
Yeah. I didn't think it was. Well, because when I was watching it, I didn't think it was really going to be a thing.
A thing.
By the way, the album of this is very funny because the very first picture is just Kid Rock sitting in the stand. So I don't know why that's there.
And Kid Rock kissed the girl next to him.
His daughter, maybe?
No, he
What do you mean?
Her. They're like open mouth kissing.
Oh my gosh. I wasn't paying attention to that because it was between matches. So it was all very sudden that Riddle came like coming from the crowd, I think, and jumped into the ring. And he was very heated, like maybe like someone spilled a beer on him or something in the crowd because he seems pissed.
I think Havan said that girl is like some sort of like content creator or something like that.
I don't care about Kid Rock.
Yeah, same.
Like, I have no speculation.
Yeah, Riddle comes out, Seth comes out. It's cool. They keep saying he has a spinal injury from the stomp. It's just used to further their feud, which is cute. It's cute. It's like because technically, if you look at the hierarchy, Seth is kind of like the number two heel behind Roman, and Riddle is like the number two face behind Brock, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's like the battle of the number twos, and it's cool.
Oh, and you know what? It's like, this is a little moment, and of course it ended with Riddle getting stomped. Again. How is this a legit injury? Is this a Cody? Are we getting a little Cody situation?
No, this is pure kayfabe. Cody is actually injured. Let's move along. Move along.
By the way, shout out to Tim in the comments. Just acknowledging this is his least favorite part. We'll take that.
So next up, we get Liv Morgan versus Ronda for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Ronda comes in hot, you know, she's like swinging on Liv. She's trying to like throw Liv around.
Mm-hmm.
What I did not like about this is Ronda's clearly working snug. She works every person almost like how she works Charlotte in a sense. Like, and there are people who like how Ronda and Charlotte work because it's very like, it's very natural. It's very real. It's almost like MMA, but that's not professional wrestling. You know, I don't think Ronda can actually work a worked match. Does that make sense? She feels very, very like reckless when it comes to actually performing moves. Like, she can only work snug. She can only work real. And that is that's not a professional wrestler. So into this,
just to comment on that for a second, I think that what you're saying is so fair, and I don't know what I'm not going to point to why it is, but Ronda didn't feel as sloppy in that first run, like, because everything was so rehearsed and like crisp and clean. Because like we were almost always constantly like not wanting her to mess up, but waiting for her to mess up, just because like she was so out there and exposed, and she did such a great job with all that. I'm really a fan of her first run. Don't think I would go back and watch it necessarily, but it was a good, like, I loved how they delivered it and presented it. This, Rhonda's, I think she might be getting, like, maybe she's, like, too comfortable and taking some liberties with how she does things, because that's what it's giving.
I mean, Liv did what she needed to do. Like we said, Liv is going to sell. Liv can sell her butt off. I love Liv selling. I think Liv is the number two seller behind Sasha Banks. I've said that.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes.
And Liv did a great job. Like, she really looked like she was running scared. She looked like her arm really hurt. But I one of the things I really hated was Liv took a lot of offense. She finally does slap on the Rings of Saturn. This is the second time we saw the Rings of Saturn. And Ronda no sells the hell out of it. Like, just completely, just not even a grimace for the Rings of Saturn. Just trying to make sure how to figure out how she can get out of it. Completely no sells it, and I was so mad. I'm just like why are we even here? That's the biggest thing.
I'm so curious about like how do they work with Ronda backstage now compared with before, because she really does need that in-depth coaching and that practice. Like, Ronda, don't forget to sell. Ronda, don't forget to like give this facial reaction. Ronda, like, every single match, I'm just so annoyed
because if you're going to come into if you're going to step into this world and step into this business, like we said, with Logan Paul and with Bad Bunny, take it seriously. It feels like you're not taking it seriously. And that's some of the critiques that she got at the end of her first run. And I just like, take it seriously, please. But yeah, Liv did a great job, like, getting out of those holds, rolling out, getting to the bottom ropes. The trainer coming in at ringside, I was like, you better not go in that towel for her. Yeah,
I love that moment, though.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
It was a gutsy performance from Liv. And I don't think that I don't think Ronda took away from Liv in this match, in the sense that, like, the snug way that she works, for instance, like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think Liv looked really good and gutsy. I don't love the finish. The finish made no sense to me. In this, like, from the Liv Morgan perspective, it made no sense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Ronda slaps on another arm bar to Liv. Liv is able to kind of roll Ronda onto her shoulders. The referee taps the 1, 2, 3 for Ronda's shoulders.
Right.
Meanwhile, Liv is tapping out on Ronda. Ronda's so focused on Liv tapping out that she's not hearing the count, I guess.
And maybe Liv was so focused on the pain from the submission that she also didn't hear the count, because she tapped out before it was over. What was that about?
They showed the replay so many times. Was it?
It was like at 2 she kind of tapped.
She tapped at 2? Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was like in the process. Yeah, I don't... Yeah. Havan said that this happened with Kurt Angle and Undertaker in 2002.
Oh yeah,
back in the day. Back in the day, in order to get the triple threat with Triple H going. But I just don't. I agree with you. It's like, from a Liz perspective, did you just make your champion look weak? Like, she did a good job in the, like, I'm not giving up.
Yeah.
But the tapping look weak? I thought this was, I thought this was going to go into maybe another, remember I said maybe this match will be a dusty finish. Uh-huh. So when they said Liv won and then they were checking the tapes and they were still in the ring, I'm like, oh my God, are they going to restart the match? But they didn't. Ronda turns heel by slapping on another armbar, because that's all she did that match, basically, to Liv, and then to the ref. And it's just like, it's going to continue.
Ronda, like, is this like an official heel turn from Ronda?
Ronda always been a heel to me, so
she's been getting booed.
Yeah,
she really got booed a little bit more here. I just, you know, in terms of like you did say, it doesn't make Liv look weak. I think it kind of makes Liv look not smart. Because mm-hmm. why would you I get what they're going for, but I just wish mm-hmm. there was a different way of them doing it. Like, maybe if there's a way of like Liv not recognizing that the pin was being counted, because it was like actively you have Liv who's putting Ronda down physically for the pin. Mm-hmm. So you can't wait another 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's giving Sasha tapping out at Roadblock while staring at the timer that's at 2 seconds left. It doesn't make sense. It makes your baby face look stupid.
Exactly. I didn't say mm-hmm. that. I said not smart.
Sorry.
Because I only say that because I feel for Liv. I feel for Liv. Because it's like, it's not even anything to do with the
this
performer.
Had nothing to do with her. Yeah.
Creative.
Exactly. Yeah. No, Liv is great. And like I said, she pulled some interest out of that match because it was only her expert selling of like, oh my God, is she really hurt? That even kept me even remotely interested into it.
Living
so,
on a prayer.
So we'll see.
Living her
we'll
best see. Life.
We'll Live, see laugh, how. My biggest fear is they run it back on SmackDown and Ronda just wins there. That's my biggest fear, but we'll see.
You know what? Look, you know how happy I would be if they actually finally did a horsewoman thing and then brought, because I don't know what those other horsewomen, I don't know what their contracts are other places. WWE could bring in whoever they want. They have all of the money
in
the world.
You are still harping on these horsewomen.
I am, because it annoys me that they never did it.
Marina Shafir is actively in a storyline. Well, she was.
I thought you were going to say she's actively pregnant or something.
In a storyline with Jade.
I know.
And she's on TV.
But you know those AEW and their contracts. They're written on napkins.
Stop it. Yeah. So that this will be a C plus for me for Liv. Liv gets the plus.
Honestly. Yeah. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'll go with it. I agree.
So finally,
but we had a weird moment. I think I don't know where this was on the card, but I have this pulled up just like as a quick mention before getting to the main event, which is insane. There was a Drew McIntyre moment and he cut a promo and they intersperse a couple of these. He had his sword with him.
It was just a weird promo. That was I think that was after the McAfee and Corbin. I thought it was to give Pat McAfee a minute to come back to the commentary booth, but it wasn't.
So. No, and you know what? It was like it did a good job though, reminding us that Clash at the Castle is coming up on September 3rd, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. So nice. Yeah, like nice. you didn't need to have a gratuitous match just to set like this was nice and it was cool. And he was wearing his Pat McAfee Sunday best like me, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. And it like so them breaking it up with all of these promos and fights in between, it did give like a WrestleMania feel because that's what we get at WrestleMania. So it was a good feel for all of these things. It was just a little weirdly placed for some of them. Okay, so finally Brock versus Roman in a last man standing match for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship.
Yes. I'm sorry. I completely missed Kane.
We're not gonna talk about Kane.
We're not talking about him. He was in the ring at some point though, apparently, before the match. I don't know why.
Because he's the mayor of Knoxville, blah blah blah.
Problematic, blah, blah. But you know. So, in WWE where we don't talk about politics, according to Titus O'Neil, we'll keep going. The match.
So Roman comes out, fireworks, whatever. Brock brought a tractor to the ring. This took so long to happen. I'm like, it was already like 11 o'clock right around the time this match had started. Brock was taking his sweet precious time to get this tractor that's personally branded or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the slowest, he chose the slowest mode of transportation. Like literally
on this ramp. Oh my God, it was so funny. But he brought the tractor. Very interesting. The match starts, lots of hard hitting. They go for their finishers right off the bat. They go kind of outside the ring to this like little setup. Roman gets tossed into a camera operator. It started off like kind of just like every Roman and Brock match kind of starts off. Roman did take a kind of bad bump to the outside where you could see he like really hurt his elbow, but I think it wasn't too bad. It's just probably a little stinger or something. But at one point, Brock puts Roman in the tractor, like in the thing.
Oh. They use a word for it too that I call it the scoopy thing.
The front loader. The front load. Okay, sure. He puts Roman in the front loader. Yeah, and he lifts him up above the ring and then like just kind of gently drops him.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, Brock, what are you doing? Like, okay, yeah, because even in the moment, I'm like, what are you going for? Are you going to like leave him up there and then maybe Roman's afraid of heights and gives up from the top.
I thought, I was like, if he's in the air, he can't stand up. He can't. If he's in the air in this bucket, his feet can't touch the ground.
This reminds
he can't stand up.
I mean, there's some logic there. Like, I mean, if he is stuck and he's like, if it gets really high up, like maybe he's like, oh my God, I don't want to stand because I'm a little afraid of heights. Because I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen Roman in a ladder match. He might be afraid to climb up high. That would be a nice twist. Like, Roman, afraid of heights, just lays there and gives up in the top of the tractor.
I agree with Tim. I thought that's when I saw that come out, I was like, is he just gonna pin him with that? I
pin
thought
him at with some the point he's gonna the tractor.
I did. Yes. I truly did. We were talking about it. We all watched it together, so
yeah. And I love that. Yeah, we're all on the same page. Like, they really there's so much you could do with the tractor, and the way it was used was interesting. Well, interesting, I mean, actually, yeah, to the point in the match where, spoiler alert, where Brock just completely flipped the ring over, which, by the way, what was the point?
So again, it was weird. Roman was in the center of the ring. Brock takes if you're facing the ring, it's like the lower left ring post or whatever.
He revs up his little tractor. Vroom, vroom, vroom,
vroom. At first he just hits the ring and moves the ring. I was like, what is he doing? He's just moving the ring, and then he completely just lifts one corner of the ring up, and he lifts it really, really high up. And then Roman does like this really good, like he's trying to pretend to grab onto the ropes, and then he falls and he kind of like does that stuntman roll down the ring and out to the outside of the ring.
Yeah.
It's like a gif of somebody like falling down the stairs almost. But
my thing is, even when this happened, I'm like, oh, well, Roman's going to stand up in 2 seconds from this. Like, I was like, is this gonna be the finish, like where Roman falls out of the ring and then somehow knocked out for 10 seconds from falling?
This was really cool. Stan called it like that they might ruin the ring in some aspect. He said the ring might explode or something like that. So
they really should have put some dynamite under the ring or something. Like, they in Japan, there are so many matches like that.
Oh yeah,
they should do that here. Oh my gosh! This picture of Roman falling out of the ring is actually hilarious. Like, the whole thing is actually hilarious.
Yeah.
But the funniest part to me is just the fact that they just left the ring there like that. Like, no one decided to fix it.
Did anybody think that? Do you think that they were like, Brock was supposed to like lift it back down?
No. I don't think so.
They blocked a whole section of fans. Like,
I know, I would have been so annoying. I would have been one
anything.
Partial refund is what I would have wanted. I would have gotten it, but
because they clearly, and then not they lifted it up. They left it like standing. What's not with the blue? Y'all are. and then they started to brawl on the side that, you know, was not lifted up. So
yes,
nobody in the front row on that other side could see anything unless they looked at, I guess, the monitors or something. That kind of
imagine paying like $1,000, more than that, maybe for a front row ticket.
Five, maybe?
And honestly, I don't even want to know, but imagine that. And then you can't even really see
it. Yeah. But this was where I got, oh my God, it's just everybody was taking bumps. The Usos finally came out to try and help. Brock dispatched of them. Paul Heyman took a F5 to the
Sack of potatoes.
Like a sack of potatoes. Yeah, it wasn't a true F5, but he took a bump to the announce table.
I mean, that was a rough look. Anytime he
stayed there for the
yes,
the rest of the
and it's hilarious because of the number of times we saw Roman get knocked out. They're counting. Brock get knocked out. They're counting. And Paul Heyman is dead. He's actually, I hope someone checked on him just to make sure he was.
I think he was good.
But yeah, he was. Yeah. Good. He walked out.
Roman was able to spear. Then Theory comes out with a briefcase. And before Theory could cash in the briefcase, Brock F5s him on top of the briefcase. I think this was my original prediction. I think when we did the episode before the prediction podcast, I said, I think Theory's going to try and cash in and just not like I that's what happened. And then Roman starts to beat Brock with the it was just a lot. This was the end sequence where they just threw everything at Brock. They threw every single thing at Brock. The Usos did a super kick party on him. They hit Roman hit him with that Money in the Bank briefcase was dented. I hope Theory comes out with a dented briefcase for the rest of his run. Yeah. I don't want him to get a new one. And then Roman hit him with like two or three spears, I think it was. Let me go back to my
notes. It was way too many. Like my thing is they kind of tricked us into this. This felt like we were watching like 15 different Roman Brock matches all combined into one because there are so many false finishes that normally in a normal match would just be a finish. And so they said, okay, this is allegedly going to be the last match. I'm going to squeeze in, like they really squeezed all the juice out of the lemon, so to speak.
They truly did. Roman had to hit him with both titles to the face. And then they buried him under all of the debris. They got Paul Heyman to move so that they could bury him.
I was going to say, they should have put Paul Heyman on top of the stack, too.
Roman was standing there. So,
yeah.
I mean, Michael Cole called it one of the best last man standing matches ever. It was cool. Like, it was cool. Like,
yes. Yeah. Top tier announcing from Michael Cole in the match. This was
Roman retains.
It was well done at the end. I did think it was funny. And in this picture, you could kind of see it in the background. This ring that is like halfway toppled over. Roman hit Brock with the championship at one point and then like put the, you know, like you just kind of toss the belt into the ring. But the ring is
still
I don't know. The whole thing is ridiculous.
It is.
By the way, I will say, I saw him in the crowd a number of times, but Mark Long from MTV's Challenge, friend of the Miz and many others, he was in the perfect spot in the arena where he wasn't.
Yeah,
he was not blocked. He was on the camera a lot. That man should be a wrestler. That he's like thick and jacked. Yeah, just like he needs to come on this podcast. If anyone is listening and knows Mark Long, tweet him. Tell him to come on the Wrestling Rehab Up.
Can you highlight Tim's comment, his last one? Because I agree. I did think that KO and Roman's last man standing match was better than this one, to be quite honest. Tim says, love when Roman got hit by the golf cart. Like, I thought it was better because they utilized more of the arena. Having a last man standing match and staying in the ring, kind of like
that was Thunderdome. Even if the ring gets too right,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was well done though.
Yeah, it was really good. And then, but the handcuffs and not being able to find the key, that was kind of funny. But I like that. I agree. I like that one better. But all right, that's it for the matches. So Matt, before we head out, any final thoughts on SummerSlam as a whole?
It was a really good show. Like it was, it felt motivated. It felt more energized than anything else. Mm-hmm. I loved that the setup made it look like a meaningful big show. Mm-hmm. And also that it was just light outside. Alex mentions in the comments, I think being in an outdoor stadium makes it harder, right, because less stuff to use, unlike an arena. Maybe, but visually I loved it. And I think they really kind of, they made the most out of that. People, it looked like a star. I love when a show looks like a big show. Mm-hmm. And I would hate to have to go down that ramp. So long.
Yeah.
Maya was huffing and puffing watching people walking down it. But I love it. And I'm so excited for Bailey and Io and Dakota. Dakota Kai. Like Dakota Kai, one of my favorites, legitimately. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they didn't change her name.
Me too.
But you never know.
Yeah.
They might change the spelling. Who knows?
Yeah. Because I was trying to remember if Dakota Kai was the name that she was wrestling with on the indies. I don't think it was.
I don't know, but it was.
I mean, she was. It was Tegan Nox. It was something different.
You know,
before they came to WWE.
She was on the Wikipedia, she was wrestling as either Evie or Evie, and then debuted in the Mae Young Classic under the name Dakota Kai. So
right,
good.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. So I'm just glad. I agree. I thought this was a great setup. Like if you're trying to say we are bookmarking and we are closing a certain era of WWE, this is the final, you know, stab at that old era, and we're going into a new one. I think this was a perfect setup for that. It does have me energized to see what's coming next. I am excited. Yeah. We'll see how long that lasts. But thank you everyone who joined us here live in both the Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group and on Twitter at Wrestling Rehab Up on Twitter. If you like this, please let us know. Let's see if we can do more of these. We will be back next week with the big boss man himself, Rob Cesternino, to go over the fallout of the week after SummerSlam. After that, we will be going on our usual hiatus. As soon as we're back, we'll let you know. Go and follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, to like the number two. Follow Matt Scott
at Matt Scott GW. That's where you can find me. Also, yes, all the places. By the way, big shout out to friend of the pod, Chappelle.
Yes.
For just recognizing. Thanks for doing this live. Do it more often, please. And Chappelle also had to go to lunch because he is booked and busy.
He is always eating.
Keep it up. Thank you. Yes. Shout out to everyone who tuned in live. And if you love this, well, one thing I'd also recommend is like joining the Job Has a Squadcast group if you're part of it. It's funny because last week there was like an influx of like three people, but an influx of people who were like, hey, can I join? I've been meaning to join. So if you want to join, hit us up, tweet us, or it's actually really easy now, and I could kind of point you where to go. But hit us up on the Twitters, and we will hook you up with the Facebook. We're a cross-platform podcast.
Matt, are you doing anything else this week? Where can the people find you?
Oh, my God. Mari, thanks for asking. So where the people could find me, as far as I know, of course, always on Pod Friends, talking with people in this RHAP universe. And there's another episode that's coming out tonight, Sunday night. If you want to check that out, there are Survivor Philadelphia 2 is the other big thing I'd want to plug, just because I'm in it. Isaiah, who made our theme song, is also part of it, in case you want to kind of see how things play out. And it's a lot of fun. And there's also a lot of podcasts covering Survivor Philadelphia 2. So it's a lot of fun, and I hope people check that out. But you could follow me, Matt Scott GW, check out my link in the bio, and subscribe to all the things, follow all the things. So, Mari, where else could the people find you? You're so booked and busy, aren't you?
Yes. So you can find me on the Crime Scene Podcast with Sarah Carradine every Tuesday. We bring True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP. Subscribe by going to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed. You can also find me this week on the newly rebranded A Perfect Match, a Married at First Sight podcast with Asia Welsh and Jason Reed, where we discuss season 15 of Married at First Sight. So I always have so much fun with Asia and Jason. So if you want to subscribe and listen to that, you go to robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed so that you can subscribe there. Yes. And hopefully you are already subscribed to us. But just in case, go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed in order to subscribe. Leave ratings and review. You can send any emails to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also tweet at us using hashtag wrestling or half up podcast. It is now almost the beginning of the month. So go to patreon.com/RHAP to become a patron of the Rob Has a Podcast Network, which we are on. You get lots of really good behind the scenes exclusive content. So go and do that right now. Other than that, thank you from me and Matt. Remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye.
Come up, lay it down just like Matt and Mari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flexing in the air, huh? Rumble rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down just like Matt and Mari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.